بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. In the name of Allah, the most merciful, the one who bestows mercy, indeed all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds. And may peace and blessings be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, upon his family, companions, and all those who follow the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam until Yawm al-Qiyamah. In the previous lesson, we went through the various tasbihat and also the ad'iyah of as-sujood. And the wajib being Subhana Rabbi al-A'la once, and then the other adhkar or ad'iyah which a person can say after it. And in this lesson we come to the adhkar or the du'as which are said in the sitting between the two sujood. And they are in the book, in the booklet, Rabbi ghfirli, Rabbi ghfirli, and Rabbi ghfirli, warhamni, wa'afini, wahdini, wajburni, warzuqni. And the du'as or the adhkar, which are said between the two sujoods, meaning a person goes into sujood, and then he sits up, and then he's going to go into sujood again. So when you're in that sitting between the two sujood, then there are certain adhkar that a person should say. And these adhkar or these du'as, they have been narrated in different narrations with different wordings. Jumhur al-fuqaha, the majority of the fuqaha alayhim rahmatullah, they said that the adhkar and the du'as which are said in the sitting between the two sujoods, they are mustahab. They are recommended for a person to say. They are mandub or sunnah or nafal. Meaning if you say them, then you are rewarded. And if you don't say them, then there's nothing upon you. You don't have to make qadha. You don't have to make sujood sahu or repeat the rak'ah again. However, the Hanabila, alayhim rahmatullah, the majority of the Hanabila say that the adhkar and the du'as between the two sujood, it is wajib. So if a person leaves out this dhikr or this du'a, intentionally, then he has to make, then his rak'ah is invalid and he has to make another rak'ah again. Why? Because he abandoned a wajib intentionally. If, however, he forgets to say, Rabbi ghfirli, Rabbi ghfirli, in the sitting between the two sujood, then he makes sujood sahu at the end. And the reason why the Hanabila said that it is wajib, and amongst the contemporary ulama, Sheikh Ibn Baz rahimullah as well, for two reasons. The first reason is mawadhabatun nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam alayha, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the various ahadith, and when he taught the salah to the other people like Musi al-Salah, he would teach them to say Rabbi ghfirli, Rabbi ghfirli. So this is the first evidence. And the second evidence is that if you think about every position of the salah, whether you're standing or in ruku, or standing from ruku again, or in sujood, or even when you're moving your head to the right and the head to the left, there's always some type of dhikr or some type of dua. There's no situation, there's no position in the salah in which there's complete silence. There's either dhikr or tasbih or a dua. So similarly, the sitting between the two sujood. Because the salah has only been legislated in order to make dhikr, tasbih and tahmid, and in order to make a dua. So this was the other evidence that they had. They said that all of the actions of the salah, all of them contain some type of dhikr or some type of dua. So like this, the sitting between the two sujood. So the obligation is to say Rabbi ghfirli once. This is the minimum obligation that a person has to say. So if he leaves it intentionally, then he has to repeat the rak'ah. And if he leaves it out of forgetfulness, then he only has to make sujood as-sahu. As for a person who left it out like previously, not knowing that it was wajib. Or he's leaving it out because he follows the opinion of the a'imma and the fuqaha who believe it is mustahab, then there's nothing upon him. And Al-Hafidh ibn Rajab al-Hanbali rahimullah, he said, وَحُكْمُ هَذَا الذِّكَرْ بَيْنَ السَّجْدَتَيْنِ عِنْدَ أَكْثَرِ أَصْحَابِ أَحْمَدْ كَحُكْمِ التَّسْبِيحِ فِي الرُّكُوعِ وَالسُّجُودِ. He said that the ruling of this dhikr, meaning saying رَبِّ اغْفِرْ لِي, between the two sujood, with the majority of the students of Al-Imam Ahmad, is like the ruling of saying Subhana Rabbi al-Azim or Subhana Rabbi al-A'la in ruku' in sujood. أَنَّهُ وَاجِبٌ, that it is wajib. وَتُبْطِلُ الصَّلَاةِ بِتَرْكِهِ عَمْدًا, and if a person abandons it intentionally, then the salah is invalid. وَيَسْجُدُ لِسَهْوِهِ, if however he forgets to say it, then he only makes sujood as-sahu. So the first dhikr is رَبِّ اغْفِرْ لِي, we said once is the minimum obligation, and some of the narrations mention twice, رَبِّ اغْفِرْ لِي, رَبِّ اغْفِرْ لِي. And some of the narrations mention three times, رَبِّ اغْفِرْ لِي, رَبِّ اغْفِرْ لِي, رَبِّ اغْفِرْ لِي. And some of the narrations mention, اللَّهُمَّ اغْفِرْ لِي, اللَّهُمَّ اغْفِرْ لِي. So all of these are correct, and the narrations are in Sunan Ibn Majah. And then the second dhikr is, as is in the booklet, اللَّهُمَّ اغْفِرْ لِي, وَارْحَمْنِي, وَعَافِنِي, وَهْدِنِي, وَاجْبُرْنِي, وَارْزُقْنِي. And again, even this dhikr has been mentioned with different wordings in different sequences. So the first of them is Allahumma ghfirli. And we said in the previous lesson that this word istighfar or al-maghfira, it comes from al-mighfar. And al-mighfar is the helmet which is worn on the head at war. And the helmet, it has two main uses. The first benefit is it covers and conceals the helmet. It covers the head and conceals the head. And secondly, it protects the head from the dangers. So from this linguistic meaning of al-mighfar, the ulama, they take the benefit that the meaning of al-istighfar or the meaning of maghfira is two. That firstly, Allah conceals and hides your sins, a sitr. And then secondly, Allah protects you from the punishment of the sins. This is the meaning of al-istighfar. Meaning, when you say, oh Allah, I ask you for maghfirah, meaning I ask you to conceal my sins so you don't expose them to others. And also you protect me from the punishment of the sins so I'm not punished in this dunya and neither in the hereafter. So it is al-sitr wal-wiqaya. Al-sitr, hiding and concealing, wal-wiqaya, to be protected like al-mighfar, like the helmet which is worn on the top of the head. Then, warhamni. So, warhamni, it is talabur rahma, meaning you are seeking rahma from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the meaning of rahma is mercy. The ulama, they say that when istighfar and rahma are mentioned together in a single sentence, then istighfar means that Allah protects you from that which you have done previously, and rahma means Allah gives you that which you hope for in the future. If they come together in a single sentence, istighfar and ar-rahma, then istighfar means protection from that which you have done previously, i.e. the sins which you have committed in the past, and rahma means al-husuli al-matlub, that Allah gives you that which you hope for in the future. And then after this, wa'afini. And the meaning of afini, al-af, is also being pardoned and protected, meaning being pardoned and protected from the diseases, sickness and illness. And the afia, the sickness or the disease which you ask Allah to pardon you from, are two types: physical illness, real diseases, and also the spiritual illness. So the physical illness is the illness of the body, and the spiritual illness is the disease of the heart. And this is two, ash-shahawat wa shubuhat. Ash-shahawat is the disease of desires which affect the heart, And ash-shubuhat is the disease of the doubts, which also enter the minds and it enters the hearts. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, He calls this an illness. He said regarding the munafiqun, fi qulubihim maradun fazadahumullahu marada. That in their hearts is a marad, meaning an illness. So Allah increases them in their disease or in their sickness. So just as the body becomes ill, then also the heart, it can become ill. Then we say wahdini. And wahdini means, O Allah, give me guidance. So we say, Allahumma ghafirli, O Allah, forgive me, meaning, O Allah, conceal my sins and protect me from the punishment. Warhamni, O Allah, have mercy upon me, meaning, O Allah, give me what I want in the future. Wa'afini, and O Allah, pardon me, meaning, pardon me from the physical sickness and also the spiritual sickness of the heart. Wahdini, and also guide me. Al-Hidayah, guidance is two types. Al-Hidayah, guidance is two types. Hidayatul Irshad. And the meaning of Hidayatul Irshad is the guidance with evidences and proofs. And the second type of Hidayah is Hidayatul Tawfiq. And this is the guidance of the heart. So Hidayatul Irshad, the guidance of evidences and proofs, is for everybody. All of us, as Muslims, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we have to try to guide others with evidences and proofs and with wisdom and good words. And as for Hidayatul Tawfiq, as for divine guidance, then this is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And only in the hands of Allah. So even the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam does not possess the ability to guide people with this, the guidance of At-Tawfiq. Wallahu al-Muwaffiq. And Allah is the one who is al-Muwaffiq, meaning the one who gives the guidance of At-Tawfiq. Both of these guidances are mentioned in the Quran. So Allah Jalla fil Ula said in one of the ayat, إِنَّكَ لَتَهْدِي إِلَى صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. That you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, verily you guide to the straight path. And in the other ayah, Allah said, إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتْ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهِ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاء. That you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, you do not guide whoever you love, but Allah guides whoever He wills. So look, in these two ayat, in one ayah, Allah affirms a guidance for the Prophet, and in another ayah, Allah negates guidance from the Prophet. So He affirms for him the guidance of evidences and proofs. This is what the Prophet came with, and this is what we have to do. So this is general to all of the Muslims. And then when he negates Hidayah, then this is Hidayatul Tawfiq. So the mission of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was to present the proofs, like our mission as well. The innama alaykal balagh, the only thing which is upon you is to convey. As for people accepting or not accepting, then this is not the concern of a person. And this also teaches us that also in our methodology when it comes to da'wah, we should never be concerned with numbers. That I've been calling for 5 years or 10 years, or we've had this mosque for 10 years or 20 years and only a few people have responded. Because your only job which you are judged for is to present the evidences. Did you convey? Did you present? Did you give the proofs and the evidences? As for the numbers and those who will accept or not accept, then this is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned how on Yawm al-Qiyamah he will come across an-Nabi wa ma'ahu ar-Rahd. That I came across a Prophet and he had a large group of followers. وَالنَّبِي وَلَيْسَ مَعَهُ إِلَّا رَجُلٌ وَرَجُلَيْنِ. And I came across another Prophet and he only had one or two people with him. And he came across another Prophet وَلَيْسَ مَعَهُ أَحَدٌ, and he had no followers with him. So amongst the Prophets and the Messengers, those who were aided with the ayat from Allah and the miracles from Allah were those who many people followed. And some of them only a handful of people. And some of them, their own wives disbelieved in them, like Nuh alayhi salam. And their own sons disbelieved in them, like Nuh alayhi salam. And those whose fathers disbelieved in them, like Ibrahim alayhi salam. And those whose uncles disbelieved in them, like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then we say, warzuqni, O Allah, give me a rizq. And Ar-rizq are the provisions by which you are able to worship Allah. Ar-rizq is the sustenance by which you are able to worship Allah. And ar-rizq is also two types. So these provisions that Allah gives, it's two types. Ar-rizq al-hissi wa ar-rizq al-ma'nawi. Physical sustenance, meaning the food and the drink and that which you consume and it enters into your stomach. Wa-rizq al-ma'nawi, and the spiritual sustenance, which is the sustenance of the heart with knowledge and al-Iman. So when you say warzuqni, then you are asking Allah for both of these types of ar-rizq. And then finally you say wajburni. And al-jabr, it is a cure. So you are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a cure. And this is also two types, a physical cure and a spiritual cure. So the physical cure is from the physical illnesses, from the cuts and the injuries and the diseases of the body. And as for the spiritual cure, then it is a cure of the heart from the sins. So the minimum obligation is to say Rabbi ighfirli once, and a person can say Rabbi ighfirli twice, and a person can say three times Rabbi ighfirli, Rabbi ighfirli, Rabbi ighfirli. Or he can say Allahumma ighfirli, or he can say Rabbi ighfirli warhamni wa'afini wahdini wajburni warzuqni. Then after this we come to at-tashahhud. And at-tashahhud is the sitting in the salah after the two sujood. So the word at-tashahhud, when the fuqaha use it, it refers to the whole sitting from after the second sujood all the way to at-taslim. It doesn't only relate to at-tahiyyatu lillah, that dhikr. Rather, it relates to from the second sujood all the way to the at-taslim. And of course, there is at-tashahhud after every two rak'ah in the salah. So there is a tashahhud, if it is four raka'at, after the second raka'ah, and then after the fourth raka'ah. The hukam of the first tashahhud is it is wajib. Meaning if you leave it out intentionally, then that raka'ah is invalid. And if you leave it out of forgetfulness, then the raka'ah is complete, the salah is valid, but you make sujoodu sahu at the end. And as for the second tashahhud, meaning in the fourth raka'ah, or if it is Fajr, for example, which is only two raka'at, then that tashahhud, then it is a rukan from the arkan. So if you leave it out intentionally or out of forgetfulness, then you have to pray another raka'ah. And the evidence that the first tashahhud is only wajib and not a raka'ah is in the hadith in Sahih Bukhari and Muslim, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam one day, he prayed, he led the people in Salat al-Dhuhr. And then after the second rak'ah, he stood up straight away. Meaning he didn't sit for the second rak'ah. Four rak'ah in Salat al-Dhuhr. In the second rak'ah, instead of sitting down and saying at the shahud, he stood up straight away. So then the hadith says, فَقَامَ النَّاسُ مَعَهُ. So the people, they also stood up. حَتَّى إِذَا قَضَ الصَّلَاةِ. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he kept on fulfilling the rest of the salah. وَانْتَظَرَ النَّاسِ تَسْلِيمَهُ. And the people waited for him to make his taslim. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he forgot to sit down in the second rak'ah. He stood up. So the people followed him and they also stood up. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he completed the rest of the salah, the third rak'ah and the fourth rak'ah. And then the tashahud, the at-tahiyyah, and as-salah ala nabi, as-salah ibrahimiyyah, and the dua. Then the people waited for the taslim. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he didn't make the taslim. The hadith says, فَكَبَّرَ وَهُوَ جَالِسٌ. Rather, he said the takbir, Allahu Akbar, whilst he was sitting. فَسَجَدَ سَجْدَتَيْنِ. And then he performed two sujood, and then he made a salam. So the evidence in this is that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he didn't repeat a whole rak'ah. He only made sujood sahu at the end. And therefore this shows us that missing the first tashahhud, the first sitting and the first at-tahiyyat, this is a wajib. If you do it intentionally, the rak'ah is invalid. You have to repeat the rak'ah again. If it's out of forgetfulness, the salah is valid and you only make sujood sahu at the end. So when a person sits for the tashahud, then the first thing he has to say is at-tahiyyat. And also at-tahiyyat, it has been mentioned in different narrations with different wordings. And we have mentioned two. However, there are many different wordings. And for more information, refer to Sifatul Salat al-Nabi, the description of the Prophet, the Salah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by a Sheikh Muhammad Nasiruddin al-Albani rahimullah. And he mentions a number of narrations. He mentions at least six different wordings. Tashahud ibn Mas'ud, and the Tashahud of ibn Abbas, and the Tashahud of ibn Umar, and the Tashahud of Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, and the Tashahud of Umar ibn al-Khattab, and also the Tashahud of Aisha radiallahu anha, radiallahu anhum ajma'in. And all of these tahiyyat, they are similar, but there is a difference in wording. So for example, the Tashahud of Ibn Mas'ud, which is what most of us have learned, is At-Tahiyyatu Lillahi wa Salawatu wa Tayyibatu Assalamu Alaika Ayyuhun Nabi, which we have learned. In Ibn Abbas, At-Tahiyyat Al-Mubarakat As-Salawat At-Tayyibat Lillahi, and then the rest of the At-Tahiyyah. In the Tashahud of Ibn Umar, At-Tahiyyat wa Salawat wa Tayyibat Assalamu Alaika Ayyuhun Nabi wa Rahmatullah. In the tashahud of Abu Musa, the Prophet said, At-tahiyyat, at-tayyibat, as-salawat, lillahi. In the tashahud of Umar, then it is, At-tahiyyat, at-tahiyyatu lillah, az-zakiyatu lillah, at-tayyibatu lillah, as-salamu alayka ayyuhun nabi. And in the tashahud of the narration of Umm al-Mumin Aisha radiallahu anha, then it is, At-tahiyyat, at-tayyibat, as-salawat, az-zakiyat lillahi, as-salamu ala nabi, and the rest of the tahiyyah. So all of these wordings, all of these narrations, they have a slightly different wording. Anyway, we come to the tahiyyah of Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, and it has been narrated in Sahih al-Bukhari and Sahih Muslim. Naam, al-Bukhari and al-Muslim. And we say, At-tahiyyatu lillah, was-salawatu, wa-t-tayyibatu, as-salamu alayka ayyuhun nabi, wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, as-salamu alayna wa ala ibadillahi s-salihin, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, wa ashhadu anna muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. This tashahud, Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu mentions that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he taught it to him. He said, Allamani Rasulullah At-tashahud. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he taught me this tashahud. Wa kaffi bayna kaffayhi. And my hand, my palms, was between the two palms of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Meaning the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was holding him with his two hands, by his hand, in order to teach him this at-tashahud. Kama yu'allimuni surah min al-Qur'an. Just as he used to teach me a surah from the Quran, he taught me this at-tahiyyah. So this hadith shows us that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he would teach the adhkar and the du'as of a salah like he would teach the companions the Quran. So just as we attach importance to teaching the Quran to our children, surah al-Fatiha, surah an-Nas, surah al-Ikhlas, then also we have to attach importance in teaching the adhkar and the aqwal of as-salah. At-tahiyyatu lillah. At-tahiyyat is the plural of at-tahiyyah. And at-tahiyyah, it is at-ta'zim. And the meaning of at-ta'zim is exaltations and glorifications. So any phrase in which we exalt Allah and we use it to magnify Allah and glorify Allah, this is the meaning of At-Tahiyyah. As-Salawat. As-Salawat here can have one of two meanings. Either it means the Salah, meaning the Fard Salah and the Nafal Salah, all of it is for Allah because it is Ibadah. Or it can mean Ad-Dua, because As-Salah linguistically it means Ad-Dua. So all of the Dua which we make has to be for Allah. So this is an evidence of At-Tawheed and a warning against Ash-Shirk. And then At-Tayyibat. And At-Tayyibat is the plural of At-Tayyib. And الطيب, it means that which is good and that which is pure. So these طيبات, either they relate to Allah or they relate to the actions of the people. الطيبات either relate to Allah and His actions or they relate to the people and their actions. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in all of His attributes, He's الطيب. He's pure and He is good and He is perfect. And also, when it comes to the actions of the people, Allah only accepts from the people the actions which are tayyib, meaning which are good and pure, free from shirk, free from showing off, and free from bid'ah and innovations. And in the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Inna Allah tayyib, wa la yaqbalu illa tayyib." That Allah is tayyib, Allah is good and pure, and He does not accept from the people anything which is not good and pure. And also Allah said, إِلَيْهِ يَسْعَدْ الْكَلِمُ الطَّيِّبُ وَالْعَمَلُ الصَّالِحِ يَرْفَعُهُ. That to Him, the good, pure word reaches, and the righteous actions He raises. So the good, pure words, and the righteous actions, which are free from shirk, and free from الرِّيَا, showing off, and free from السُّمْعَة, wanting to be heard, and free from bid'ah, they go up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as for the evil actions or that which is impure, then it remains upon the earth, meaning it is not accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then we say, As-salamu alayka ayyuhan nabi. That as-salam is upon you, O Prophet. So this is a supplication for the Prophet that as-salam is upon him. And the meaning of as-salam is safety and peace. That safety from every type of evil, from any type of harm, is upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And as-salam is also from the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. From the names of Allah is as-salam. So when we say as-salamu alayka, either it means salamatun alayka, meaning safety and security be upon you, O Prophet. Or it means as-salamu alayka, meaning Allah who is as-salam, He is upon you. Like we say to a person, Allahu laka, that Allah is for you, meaning the protection of Allah is for you. This is the meaning. And then wa rahmatullahi, and also the mercy of Allah, wa barakatuhu, and the meaning of barakah is al-khayr al-kathir al-thabit. This is the meaning of al-barakah, meaning an abundance of goodness and the stability of that goodness. This is the meaning of a barakah. Wassalamu alayna, and also may safety and security be upon us, I, me, and those people who are praying as salah with me, and the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Wa ala ibadillahi salihin, and also as-salam, safety and peace and security be upon all of the worshippers who of Allah who are righteous. And when we say ibadillahi salihin, the worshippers who are righteous, meaning every righteous worship of Allah upon the earth or in the heavens, those who are alive or those who are passed away, from the humans or the angels or the jinns. And then we say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu, meaning I believe in my heart and I say it upon my tongue. An la ilaha illallah, this is kalimatu tawheed. And Ashhadu anna Muhammadun abduhu wa rasulu, also I believe in my heart and I utter upon my tongue that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is Abdullahi wa rasuluhu. He is the worship of Allah and therefore he is not deserving of worship, because he himself used to worship Allah. So we don't worship the Prophet because he himself is only a worshipper. But we worship the one who he used to worship. And Rasulullah, and he is the one who was given the Risala. He is the final messenger of Allah. The Tahiyya, it contains a number of benefits. From the benefits of the Tahiyya is that it teaches us the adab of a dua. That when you want to make dua, first you should make dua for yourself and then you make dua for the others. Because look, in the tahiyya we say, Aslamu alayna, may peace be upon us. Then you say, Wa ala ibadillah salihin. And Aslam upon the rest of the righteous worshippers of Allah. So the ulama, they take a benefit from this, that when you're asking for dua, Rabbi ghfirli wali walidayya. Oh Allah, forgive me and my parents and the rest of the Muslims, like the dua of Ibrahim alayhi salam. You begin with yourself first and then the rest of creation. Also, in the hadith, in the narration of Ibn Mas'ud, when it comes to Assalamu alayka ayyuhan nabi, peace and safety be upon you, O Prophet, he said that we used to say this, wa huwa bayna dhahranina, that we used to say, Assalamu alayka ayyuhan nabi, ayyuhan nabi, peace and safety be upon you, O Prophet, when he was living. When he was living amongst us, then he used to say this. فَلَمَّا قُبِضَ. So when he was taken away, meaning when death came to him and he was no longer amongst us, then we used to say Assalamu ala nabi. Then we used to say Assalam be upon the Prophet, not Assalamu alayka ayyuhan nabi. However, the other companions, they mentioned that they used to carry on saying Assalamu alayka ayyuhan nabi. So this is an evidence for two things. First of all, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he is not alive the life of the dunya. Rather, he left the dunya, his soul was taken, he died the death of the dunya, and now he is living the life of the barzakh and not the life of the dunya. So this narration of Ibn Mas'ud, it is an evidence against the Sufi and the Brailwiya who say this. Because look, he mentions that when the Prophet was amongst us, we used to say Assalamu alayka ayyuhan nabi. فَلَمَّا قُبِذَ. So when he was taken away, we didn't used to say أَيُّهَا النَّبِي. We used to say أَسْلَامُ عَلَى النَّبِي. أَسْلَامُ be upon the Prophet. نعم. And as for those companions used to carry on saying أَسْلَامُ عَلَيْكَ أَيُّهَا النَّبِي, then that is because this is how the narration came. Like for example, when we recite the Quran, we say يَا أَيُّهَا النَّبِي. But we aren't calling the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We are merely reciting the ayah as it was revealed. And then the second tahiyya which is mentioned, it has the addition of at-tahiyyat al-mubarakat. Al-mubarakat, as we mentioned, from baraka, which is ziyadatul khair wa thubutiya, which is an abundance of goodness and it being stable. Wallahu a'lam wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina wa sallam.